Okay, next, when you get to the qualifying stage, you're going to say, you know, I'm having a really good time with you. We're going to have that switch that will switch over from like lighthearted conversation into what you're about to say, which is probably going to be the questions qualifier, because that's the easiest thing to do. You missed this yesterday, but we have the audio recording of everything from yesterday, by the way, so you'll get that. So during the qualifying stage, you're going to now, when she starts to answer, she starts to give you number one or number two, right? It's a funny way to think of that. When she starts to give you the first and second of qualifiers that she's saying, oh, I'm feisty and I'm fun or whatever, then you turn your feet toward her in the middle of it. Now you're facing your head, your chest, and your feet toward her. The reason why now is because she's qualified herself. She's trying to sell herself to you. And so now she's earned all of your positive body language. Does that make sense? It should be very clear that she hasn't earned it yet until then. If you do it early, then she won't feel like she needs to earn it, and she won't value your positive body language whatsoever. She'll feel like it doesn't really matter, you know? Does that make sense to you guys? She has to earn that positive body language. This is the whole dance, is her earning this, you know? And she's got to be playful and stuff in order to earn it. If you go up to her and you give her all the positive body language right up front, she will not have to do anything for it, and she won't be interested. But you. This is sort of a secret. If I could explain this to every guy in the world, I would. This is like, it's like one of the best things to know about interacting with women is that she has to earn your positive body language. So once you've gone through, at this point, once you face your feet toward her and everything, you can now put your arm around her for a minute and like hold it for 1 to 3 seconds again and be like, oh, wow, you're awesome. You're my new girlfriend. You can put your arm around her for a second, you know, and then you can be like, you know what, let's go over here. And then you walk over. That's when you isolate. Bam. Now you're not in attraction anymore. Now there's no more taking away of body language. There's no negative body language used. Now it's just a series of positive body language and like leaning in and investment in the interaction. So in rapport, your positive body language is you leaning in like this. You know, you don't lean in or peck or do any kind of leaning in whatsoever until you get in rapport. If you're leaning in and you're not in rapport, then you're fucking it up. You're probably going to go to the friend zone. Does that make sense?
This you must is leaning in.
What's that?
You must leaning in. You must leaning in.
You must, you say?
Yeah.
No, only in rapport you want to lean in.
Yeah, in rapport, what I mean.
Yeah, but you don't have to lean in rapport, but if you want to, you should. If you're going to do it at any point, you should lean in at rapport. I like to lean in because you can be like, you know, blah, 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 blah. It gets more intimate. So,
that's right. Yeah.
Like, so watch this. As I lean into you like this, do you feel the tendency, like the natural tendency for you to want to kind of lean in a little bit?
For me, so kind of speaking, it's more you have more interest in me personally.
Yeah, exactly. I'm singling you out.
Yeah.
Right. And because I'm singling you out, I better be in rapport because you don't want to single anybody out before rapport. Mm-hmm. You missed that yesterday too, but you don't choose someone that you want until you get in rapport with that person. You don't choose them until then. If you choose them too early, you show neediness, and then you kill the attraction.
That's right. You only go for the physical body attraction.
But yeah, if you do physical attraction, even still, then if you use that, even still, you're getting needy, right? Yeah. So you want to look at everybody exactly the same in the beginning, whether or not they're attractive or totally unattractive doesn't matter. You're always being playful. In fact, flirting with girls who are unattractive, especially if they're in groups, is the best thing you could do because they see you flirting with her and then flirting with other girls exactly the same. And all they want to do is make their fat and ugly friends feel normal. That's all these girls want to do. They're like, they want their friends to feel like they fit in. And as soon as a guy treats them naturally like that, you know, they automatically want to talk to you. These other girls do. They're friends. The thing you don't want to do, though, unless you want to, you know, sleep with this girl, is start to isolate and build rapport with her, you know. Once you build rapport, you're in. Don't build rapport unless you're willing to go home, you know, with her. So keep that in mind.
So I mean, if you do not want to go with, home with her that night, would you not build rapport but get a phone number at the qualifying or what?
I didn't do that. Like what you're saying is, why wouldn't you want to go home with her that night?
For whatever reason, the logistics do not allow it.
No, you can build rapport. If logistics don't allow it, you can still build rapport. You know, in fact, you should build rapport always. But you only don't want to build rapport if you you don't want to sleep with her at all.
All right, okay. You know? So you build rapport but not go into seduction, basically, if you just want to get a phone number and meet her again on a date.
You can go into seduction, too.
Yeah, but I'm making the assumption you, for whatever reason, you could not go with her.
Oh, if you couldn't, yeah. Yeah, is something wrong, Kyle?
What happened to that SD card?
Oh, it's in there.
Oh, it just says full.
You have to set it up so that it switches over to the SD card instead of the hard drive. It's like in the settings somewhere.
Okay, I'll figure it out.
Okay. So far at this point now, you're leaning into her, you're in rapport, right? And then you have, there are a couple of places, I only wrote one down, but the places you want to touch, one of the best things to do is to start to play with her hands. One thing I would do, Brad, I'll demonstrate with you because you're not afraid of feeling gay. Can you slide your chair up a little bit so we can sit down? Because most rapport is going to happen sitting down. Not always, but most of the time. So what I'll usually do is I'll be sitting here like this, and I'll be leaning in and talking, you know. And I look down a lot when I'm in rapport because when you look down, you can access more emotions and you can talk about your emotions more. They come up easier. So I'll be like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then I'll be like, you know, like this. And I'll keep talking. And if she doesn't do anything, I'll look at my hand, you know, like this. And usually what'll happen is she'll start to, like, yeah, like that. She'll, like, do something that is in compliance with that, right? Or if I do like this, she'll, like, give me your hand, right? And then I'll go like this, you know, and just sit here for a second. And then I'll switch hands, you know, and then I'll be talking, and then I'll let it go.
But you never say anything about the hand?
No.
You're not, like, give me your hand?
Nope. No, I don't do any of that stuff. Another thing I'll do is I'll go like, once you do this and you get the hand once, you can do this, and then you can lock fingers for a second, and then you can kind of let it fall and keep talking, and then you can let go, you know. And every time you let go, don't just let go and sit there. Let go and then, like, shift your body a little bit. So, like, it seems like you had a reason to let go. You're not just, like, you know, done.
Drop.
Yeah, exactly. Back away. You smell funny. But you guys getting that? It's, like, really subtle and smooth. Rapport is a very smooth process. And there's a lot of, like, trust and, like, you know, if you put your hand up like this, there's a lot of, like, mirroring of body language where she'll start to mirror you. Doing this is probably the easiest way to get a hand in rapport because she'll automatically do this, you know. And then if she does, you know, you can do this and you can keep your hand here for a second and take your other hand off. Like, I always slide my hand off, too. In rapport. It's a much more sensual stage, you know. Thanks, Bradina. So that hands are really powerful. You can also, like, touch your face a little bit. Brad has long hair, so it would have been good if I could have shown you that. But basically, you can, like, move her hair out and tuck it behind your ear just for a second, and then that's it. And then nothing else. Like, as you're talking, you just go like this, and then come back and keep hanging out. Like, that's a really powerful thing too. Another thing too is you're getting later into rapport. Like, it starts to, you start to get ready for your transition into seduction. You can grab it really gently. This is really important to do it gently. Gently, like, rest her sort of chin on your hand a little bit and kind of, like, move her chin a little bit, like, back and forth. Because controlling someone's head, like a girl's head like this, is a really dominant thing to do. Sometimes I'll do this, like, I'll put my thumb right here, and I'll, like, move her head just a little bit, and then I'll stop, you know? Not forcefully, it's very soft at this point. And you don't do it too early, you want to do it in rapport, specifically. Does that make sense, guys? Yeah, I know that as you learn these things, you're not going to know where to put them in the interaction, you're going to try to bring them out in the wrong time, and you're going to get blown out because of it, you know? So just allow yourself to screw it up. But during rapport, that transition of, like, getting really intimate and everything is really powerful. One of the things I love that takes it straight from rapport into seduction, which is the second hardest thing to do in an interaction, which is go from attraction to rapport and isolate. The second is go from rapport to seduction. That's all the transitions are difficult. So one thing I'd love to do is start talking about something that, you know, maybe I'd be in rapport and I'd be talking about, you know, you don't even have to have a reason. I've done this for no reason at all. I've been like, tell me how this feels, you know? And I'll run my hand, I'll do this with my hand, like palm, and I'll run up the back of her neck like this until my hand gets kind of like stuck and it can't really go any further because her hair is there. And then I grip, not very hard, and kind of pull her head back like this. This is like girls have a completely sexual response to this. And she'll do it, and what she'll do is usually this. like that. She'll open her mouth and she'll, like, you know, almost close her eyes. And she gets really turned on whenever you do that. And then do that, pull it back a little bit, and then let it go. You know, one of the things I can say, but what I would say is I play on a scale of 1 to 10 game? On a scale of 1 to 10, how good does this feel? You know? You don't... What, that isn't a reason to do that. You're just asking her a random fucking question. But as you do it, she gets turned on, and she associates all that sort of seductive or sexual tension with you, like that... what am I thinking of here? Arousal. The arousal with you. So, anyway, is this making sense to you guys? This is a lot of shit right now. Again, in rapport, you're going to be using lingering touch. It's 3 to 5 seconds, right? So you can let go, and then you can touch immediately again for 3 to 5 seconds, and then take your hand off and touch immediately again. It doesn't mean you need to wait like you do when you're in attraction. In attraction, you linger, or you temporary touch, and then you stop, and you're like kind of away for a minute. Then you do it again. Then you do it again. It's like kind of part of your interaction. And the more you continue to interact with her, the more frequently you can touch. Touch is the fastest way to escalate to sex. If you know how to skip stages in touch, then you can get to seduction almost instantly. But you have to know how to skip stages, and that's really complicated. I wouldn't recommend it for most people. So later on, when you start to understand these rules, you can start to bend the rules, and you can make things work for you instead of against you, really. Or even instead of having to work within a system, you can manipulate the system to make it work for you. So that I already got through where to touch and what kind of body language you're going to be leaning in during rapport, and you'll have that like sort of more sensual, intimate, lingering touch. And I demonstrated it, which most people never get to see. And then during seduction, you want to go straight in triangulation. So as soon as you... And by the way, there's no like a... yesterday I said that there's a clear distinction between rapport and seduction. There's a clear distinction between attraction and rapport, definitely. Between rapport and seduction, you probably won't see the distinction, but she will. But you probably won't, because it seems like a very smooth process for us. Whereas for her, it's like it can be very jolting. So one of the things that I do is I just, in the middle of rapport, like after we've gone through rapport a couple of times, and I'm escalating the touch into sort of more of a constant touch with her, where I'm touching her more often and more often in more sensual ways, then I start triangulating. And as soon as I see it back, you know about triangular gazing or triangulating? It's whenever you're looking at someone's eyes and then you look at their mouth.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Their eyes,
it's
you know?
Like a, the bonus is also...
Yeah, yeah. So you do that a few times during rapport, and all of a sudden you'll see her do it back to you, and as soon as she does it back to you, then you can say, it's okay, you can kiss me, I want to kiss you too, which she dropped that line last night, which is fantastic. But ultimately... You want to do that in rapport. And if your touch isn't... The reason why she didn't want to go home with you is because you didn't escalate your touch properly in rapport. Most guys don't touch rapport at all. They just, like, step yeah. back and they're like, blah, 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 trying to get you to feel comfortable, you know? But you have to kind of... The beginning of rapport starts out with you... not necessarily in light rapport, but in the beginning, like, maybe the first time you cycle through rapport, right? It starts out with you touching kind of a little bit safer... Then as you go through rapport more, you escalate your touch. You start to touch more. You start to get more intimate. You start to look at her, sort of slide your hands a little bit more. Touch your hands for a little bit longer. Interlock fingers. Touch her face a little bit, right? This is you ramping up to rapport, or to seduction. And then you triangulate. As soon as you triangulate and she does it back, bam, you're good, right? You start making out. Don't make out for very long. If you make out for too long, that's all you're going to do. If that's what you want to do, great, but... what I usually do is I'll be in the middle of like seduction, making out, and I'll go, whoa, whoa, whoa. I think I need to chill for a minute. This is like happening very fast, right? I'm saying exactly what she would be saying to me, you know? This is called flipping the script. Flipping the script is where you say a thing that she was going to say to you, but you say it to her first, as if you were having the same thought about her. She'll automatically start to convince you that it's not going too fast, you know? And that's what usually happens. She'll be like, No, I feel okay. I mean, if you want to go somewhere else, or, you know, anything she can do to kind of like, so it's totally script flipping. Now she's doing what a guy would normally do, and you're doing what a girl would normally do. So in other areas of your life, that might be a bad thing, like to act like a girl. But in this case, it's a really powerful technique because it allows her to kind of relax and she's constantly giving you permission and convincing you to go forward, and you don't have to chase her anymore. You know, so. Another thing I like to do is, if you're going to make out for a second, is lean in, make out for a second, and then pull back. Don't pull back very far. And then lean in to kiss again, but then don't let her. Like, pull back as she's leaning in to kiss. I had a girlfriend that used to do this to me. And as I lean in to kiss her, and then I'd like look at her, you know, all seductively, and then I'd need to kiss her again, and then she'd pull away and stare at me, like, and like amused, like watching me, like watching me try to kiss her. You know, she liked to mess with me like that, and so I started doing that after we broke up, which was a fantastic experience. That was the if you guys saw the goldfish video, that was the girl who kicked me out of the house to I had to live in my car. I was like, let me see if I can do that to girls, because I thought it was really interesting. And I did, and as soon as I started doing that, girls were like, go nuts. They would just get soaking wet because of it. Because I was like, I would kiss her once, and I would lean to kiss her again, and I'd pull back and watch her, and like, it was like such a dominance thing. Like, I owned her, you know? And that was something that really turned a lot of women on. Yeah?
What I try to do, if you're kissing them, and they try to kiss you, just stay like, half a centimeter away from them with your open mouth, and then they come closer and you just back off.
Yeah, yeah, just a little
bit. Not staring at them, like, it's always, your face is in her face.
Mm-hmm.
She's just always kissing you, but she's not.
Yeah.
And you have the control.
Yeah.
She knows it.
The point is, that's the point, that you have the control and she knows it. That's the point, you know. Not that you're not going to give it to her. You're going to give it to her, but you're going to make her work for it a little bit. You're not going to give it to her when she thinks she is. Yeah. That's the playfulness. That's the bantery part. It's like sexual banter almost. Of seduction, playfulness and seduction. So at that point, you know, of course, you're triangulating, doing triangular gazing, and then you're using constant touch. If you follow this piece by piece, it will work every single time. Okay? If you ever screw one thing up, it won't work. Yeah, it's possible. Now, I can screw things up and I can go backwards and switch things around, and I can skip steps and jump all over the place, but that's because I understand the system really well. But if you want, you have to understand how to do it right first. You have to turn off your brain. Turn off your brain, Alberto. And then you have to just do it. You have to just think about that. Is my body language and is my touch congruent with what stage I'm in? That's all you're thinking. You know, okay, this. Over and over. And whenever you get in rapport, you have to do all that shit while still telling intimate stories about yourself. You have to multitask. And as you do this more, you'll get better at multitasking. Have you guys been aware of your breath at all while you've been sitting here? Probably not, right? But you've been breathing since you've been sitting here, right? The reason why you don't do that, well, you don't pay attention to that, is because you don't know how to multitask while paying attention to your breathing and also listen to what I'm saying and learn something new. It's really difficult to do that. But if we spent all day doing that, by the end of the day, you'd be able to pay attention to every breath and you'd be able to learn at the same time. Does that make sense? Multitasking is the thing that creates intelligence. It allows you to act and do things that are very complex, like driving a car. When you first get in the car, it's like everything you can do to not forget which one's the gas pedal and which one's the brake pedal, you know? So later on, as you start to learn how to drive a car better, you can get in a car, you can drive somewhere, and then you get to where you're going, you don't even remember the drive at all. You're like,
sure.
Sometimes that can scare the shit out of you too, because you're like, was I asleep? Was I driving? Like your subconscious mind is taking over. And when your subconscious mind takes over in this interaction, and this kind of process, you're a natural then. Women will never have any idea that you are anything but natural. They'll always think that you've always been this good with women. That's what happened to me. And if I ever tried to convince women otherwise, I thought I was lying. And you guys, you couldn't believe how I was before this. You could not believe it. I wish I had some kind of a video. I'm sure I do somewhere. If I ever do, I'll dig it up somewhere and make it into a video and release it to members, because no one has ever seen me like that. You know? No one now has ever seen me like that. Because I would try to hide and like be quiet and separated from everybody back then. So once your subconscious mind takes over, which it will take over as long as you keep focusing on this consciously, your subconscious mind will take over and it will start doing this naturally. Then all of a sudden you go out and it's not so hard anymore to pick up women. It's really fun and really easy. And then you can start working on advanced techniques. Jacob, whenever we were talking about last night and your experience from last night, it's clear to me that your subconscious is driving most of this for you.
Yeah.
That you studied for quite a while, and then at some point your subconscious started taking over, and now you're able to free up and start to look at new techniques. You know, I got to see this on Brad and Connor as well. Now, Connor was interesting because Connor was already... his subconscious is already taking over, but he had to learn new techniques, and then he had to be aware of those things consciously, and then his subconscious had to take over again. Like, every time you level up, you have to go through the same process of, like, learning something consciously a whole bunch, and then it gets submitted to your brain, and then you just don't have to worry about it anymore, you know? So, That's the 1 through 5 guy. You guys have any questions about that process at all?
It's a lot of stuff.
It's a lot of stuff, and it's everything, really. I mean, it's not everything in the whole world that you need to know, but it's most of the stuff that you need to know is delivered just then, in that process. But you have to have some foundation for it first. You have to know that there are stages and how to recognize those stages. So let's talk a little bit about recognizing the stages in women. So you can tell.
Question.
Sure.
How do I know that she wants to go back to my place? How do I pull that?
How do you know that she wants to?
Yeah, but how do I get her to do it?
Okay, well, the answer to the first part of that question, assume she wants to. All
right.
Always. Just assume that she wants to. If she doesn't want to, that should be shocking to you. Right? Like, you don't try to convince her. It's just like, oh, okay. Okay, fine. I used to laugh. Like, that used to be my thing. Like, she's like, oh, I don't want to go back to your place. I'd be like, oh, okay, that's fine. You know, and I'd just be like, cool, so let's just sit here instead then. We'll just hang out here then. That's totally cool with me. Right? So it seems like what you just said is a very weird thing to me. Like, oh, you don't want to go back. Okay, that's new. But, all right, whatever, we'll just hang out here, and it was nice knowing you. You know, it was nice meeting you. And then she'll start chasing me a bunch usually after that, trying to make sure that she didn't screw something up, you know? But anyway, so how do you get her back to your place? How do you bounce her back? First, you don't have to. You can fuck her in the bathroom. This is something I've done. It was one of my favorite things to do because it's hard to do, to convince a girl to go into a dirty-ass bathroom. That's usually not bi gender bathrooms, you know what I mean? It's not you can both go to the same bathroom. So now one of you has to go to either men's or, by the way, always go to the women's restroom. Don't drag her in the men's restroom because the men's restroom smells like ass and dudes are like farting and taking shits in there and pissing all over the place. Don't bring her to the guy's bathroom. And the women's restroom has a lot more stalls, you'll notice, than guys' restrooms do. So, and usually the guy's restroom is like missing a toilet seat or something terrible. It's like just bleh, gross. So go in the women's restroom. I learned that one after trying to do that a few times, and I was like walking in like, fuck. Why did I do this? She'd make out with me for a minute, and then she'd have to go back out. It's like disgusting, you know? And also, it's fun. Like a woman that I was with would find it really exhilarating to try to hide from other girls, you know? We would like be doing stuff in secret in one of the stalls, and the girls wouldn't know that it was happening. And it was really like a naughty thing for girls to do. So you don't have to do that. I don't want you to think that you have to. Also, there are any number of like alleyways or like dark areas where you can fuck a girl on the way home. You know, you don't have to fuck her at your place. Is what I'm saying. But you will have to escalate sexually like pretty fast wherever you are anyway. You know, you have to just take her by the hand and walk. That's what I always did. If you're going to take her by the hand and walk to the bathroom, awesome. You know, or I used to say, let's go to the bathroom. And like, let's go to the bathroom and see if we can sneak in, you know. Like, it's like a little game, almost. Fucking girls in the bathroom is the hardest thing to do, I think. But it is the funnest thing to do, because once everything else is easy, it's the only fucking thing to do. What else are you going to do? I mean, threesomes aren't that difficult. You just have to, there are a lot of coordination, but that's about it. You know, all the fantasies that you might have in your mind aren't that difficult to do. But fucking a girl in a public restroom, at a bar, where her friends are there and stuff, is pretty hard. That's pretty difficult to do. So, if you want to get her back to your place, first off, I'd have that option in your mind to be able to fuck her in the bathroom, right? That's always an option.
Yeah.
What I usually do is get her turned on a ton. Like, you want to get her turned on so much and tease her so much in a... That's okay. You want to tease her so much sexually that she can't help herself. She's, like, visibly nervous. If you start to see a lot of girls, Jacob will get this, like, red... nists right here, like if their chest right here start turning red, or their neck will start turning red. When you start to see that, it's like a turkey base, like a turkey thermometer. You're like, ding, it gets done, you know, like you know it is time at that point. So she's so aroused that all of her blood is rushing to her capillaries and on the edge of her skin right here in this area. Some girls are much more obvious than others. I used to love seeing that because I wouldn't call it. Sometimes I would call it out. I'd be like, you know, you get really red when you get super aroused. Like, it's like the funniest thing ever. I love fucking with girls like this. Because then she gets really self-conscious about that, but she can't help it, so there's nothing she can do, you know? She's just super aroused. So turn her on a whole lot, but don't give her a whole lot. Does that make sense?
Not really.
Don't like make out with her a whole bunch.
Okay.
Don't do that. Make out with her just a little bit, but tease her way more. you know?
Okay.
Tease her, and then move her to another place. Tease her, make out with her just a little bit, and then move to another place, like, drag her to another place at the bar. And keep her complying with you. Once you get the smooth compliance, then go, let's go. Let's get out of here. Just say, let's get out of here. Don't say where you're going. Just say, let's get out of here. You know? Now, the fun part, which is a whole other game in itself, which even if you do everything else right, you can screw this up and nothing's going to happen, right? It's over. Game over. And that is the ride back. The ride back is a crucial moment. Because now you're like, you know, it's like, it's kind of like, if you can imagine, like, being in the middle of, like, playing a football, football, let's say soccer, right? Playing a football game, and you're, like, kicking the ball around, and you're going crazy, and then it's like, you run off the field, and then you run to an elevator, and it's like, that's what it feels like whenever you take a girl and get her in your car afterwards. You're like, okay, you know? So what you have to do is you have to have, Connor, you were talking about this before, like, have a playlist for fucking everything. You know, there's a playlist for everything. You have a playlist for like, that starts out like smooth and relaxing and chill, and then goes to like, you know, fucking music, which Portishead is my favorite thing to fuck to. It's like the best music ever. Portishead? You ever heard Portishead? Holy shit, dude. Okay, go, just write down Portishead. P-O-R-T-I-S-H-E-A-D. It's a band with a female lead vocalist. Everything that Portishead sings is like designed to fuck to, but it's not so obvious. It's not like I've been really trying, baby. You know, it's like it's less like that. It's more like something you would listen to, and it's really good music. There's a bunch of other stuff too, but I like Portishead. And if you guys don't have you have Spotify here, so you can just put on a radio station on Spotify in your place and put that on, and it'll like instantly feel good. But getting her back to your place is really what I'm talking about here. So preferably you want to walk to wherever it is you're going. So if you have a place near your house, like a place, a bar you can go to, you want to frequent that bar. If you have a date, you want to meet her there, like that kind of thing, you know? That way you can walk back. If it's you know, here you have logistics. If it's driving distance and you need to drive back, maybe she has a car. Where's her car? Ride in her car if you need to. Don't ride in yours, because if you ride in yours, now you got to deal with her going, what am I going to do with my car later? Like, okay, well, that's a problem you just created. So be like, let's take your car or whatever, or a taxi, right? And then if you do that. But the whole point of going up to your place is just to have another drink in a quieter environment. That's like, you know, I always have a bottle of wine at your house or some kind of something. Wine is usually pretty good. My favorite wine, which I can never go wrong with, which is like, you don't have to know a lot about wine. You just need to know that there are a couple wines that are fucking amazing. My favorite wine is Barbera d'Asti. Barbera is B-A-R-B-E-R-A, and then d'Asti is D, and then an apostrophe, A-S-T-I. Barbera d'Asti. It's a red, women haven't heard of it, it's kind of a cool kind of wine, and it's fucking delicious. It's not like super sweet, like you're, you know, like giving her a wine cooler or something, like she's a 12-year-old and you're trying to get her drunk or something like that. Like, it's not super sweet, it's a mature wine, and it's delicious wine.
It's not a cider.
Oh, no, it's not cider. No. Cider's good, too, but anything with bubbles in it starts to make her stomach swell up, and then she'll start to burp, and she'll be self-conscious, and then getting her naked's more difficult. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, all these things you got to think about, man. All these little things.
Where did wine come from? From Australia? French?
Mm-hmm. Oh, where's that? That's Italian.
Okay.
Italian one. I wouldn't care either way. Cabernet Franc is pretty good. That's a French wine.
Yeah, but must be a little bit sweet, but because
just a little, but not much.
Red wine is so bitter.
Yeah, you don't want to go too sweet though, otherwise it's like blah, you know.
Yeah.
And it feels cheap tasting,
yeah.
You know. Pinot Noir is everyone's go-to. That's like the middle ground, but I don't really ever do that because I don't like Pinot Noir. Malbec is good too. If you can't find any of these other ones, Malbec is good. M-A-L-B-E-C is how you spell Malbec. Always have these wines at your place. Go out and buy them and bring them and drop them off, and then have a couple of nice wine glasses that you spend like $20 each on these wine glasses, and bring them out and pour some wine. You know, this is very important because you can go from a place at a bar where she's already drinking to your place and drink some more, and it makes sense. But if you're like, you know, I used to have fun with this and try to give ridiculous reasons to come back. Like, I don't have a cat, but I used to say, come watch my cat do backflips. Like, that doesn't make any sense. And they would go, okay. But it was a test to see how aroused I got them. Like, if you make them aroused, you can say whatever the fuck you want. You can be like, let's go look at clowns. And then you go, she's like, I don't care where you're going, I'm just following you. You know, I'll be there with you no matter what happens. So if it's hard to get her back to your place, then you haven't built up enough sexual tension. One way to build a lot of sexual tension, by the way, is while you're in rapport, start to think about her sucking your dick. Like, really vividly imagine her sucking your dick while you're in rapport. What'll happen is your face will change, and she subconsciously will see her, your face change, like your pupils will dilate, your breathing will get heavier, like your body will start to shift, and she will notice that subconsciously, and all of a sudden, it'll happen to her too. She'll start to get aroused too. This is a technique I learned years and years ago that was like, as soon as I learned it, I was like, fuck yeah, not telling anybody that. Super sneaky. But it works really well. Second day is always the more fun to teach anyway. Mm-hmm. It's like tons of really cool things to teach.
How long do you want to go to?
What time's it now?
Almost four.
Four. Why don't we go ahead and queue up the video I wanted to watch. Is that okay?
Yeah. From Fight Club?
Yeah. Okay. How do you do that with your thing?
Can I connect to my laptop?
Yeah, it's got VGAs.
Okay. While you're doing that, I'll continue with this and we'll see if there's anything else that I want to cover. Bar walking. Bar walking is really important. So today you're going to go out for day game again. This time you're not going to have a mission like you did last time. Do you want to close that line?
No, it's okay.
You're not going to have a mission like you did last time, so you're going to be specifically talking to girls. One thing I love doing, which I had to step into this place because I couldn't do this before, is being really serious with the girls during the daytime. Like, walk up to a girl and be like, hey, first I would go, do you speak English? And then I would say, I have to get back to my friends in just a minute, but I saw you standing here, and I had to come say hello, or I'd kick myself all day long for not talking to you. You know, it's just being really intimate and deep and like really romantic. Does that make sense? If you've never done this before, you have to know how to do this. You have to practice it. It's really fun to do this, but it's also nerve-wracking because you're coming out with it, right? But once you see a girl's reaction to this, you'll never go back. It's like the most exciting thing to see ever because it works really, really well. Girls during the daytime don't have guards up like they do at nighttime at bars, so you can just come straight out and say stuff directly. You can be very direct. If you at nighttime you have to have more of a dance, you know. But right after you say that, then you want to go back out a little bit, go into banter, you know, just for a second. You don't have to do much banter during the daytime. Go into a little bit of rapport. Get her phone number. If you get her phone number and you haven't gone to rapport, she's not going to answer. Just so you know. You know, that's not going to happen. Jeez, there's so many things I could tell you guys. Fuck. I'm just going to rattle stuff off. You guys cool with that? I'm just going to keep going, right? If you meet her during the daytime, have her meet you at nighttime later, right? If you meet her by yourself during the daytime, have her meet you at nighttime with friends. And if you meet her during the daytime with friends or around people, then meet her at nighttime alone. Does that make sense? So whatever it is, was it daytime or nighttime when I met her? And were we alone, like just the two of us? Or was it a lot of people that were all in the group, you know? There can be people around, but if there's people in a group, it's different, right? Whatever it was, you do the exact opposite the next time you hang out with her. The reason why is because these are complete opposite scenarios, and she'll feel like she knows you a lot better. She sees you in different contexts. This is called a time warp, by the way.
Yeah, okay, so just let me understand. If you met her alone, meaning she was not in a group, you approach her, then you would say, let's meet and eat and bring some friends, or would you bring?
If you met her alone during the daytime, then you would have her meet you in the evening, and you would have friends. You'd introduce her in a social environment, basically, in like a bar, like a club, kind of where a lot of people are. You know, you won't be isolating her. You know, like, you won't be going, let's go to a wine bar, it's two of us, and it's just like, let's hang out and have some wine. Not like that, you know. Does that make sense? You guys should be getting numbers tonight, or this afternoon, rather. Get numbers this afternoon, and then say, here's my classic, like, I'm going to get your phone number thing, you know, my phrase for this. During the daytime, especially. My favorite one is, you can say this however you want to, I'm just going to give you the skeleton for it, okay? My favorite one is, why don't I go ahead and get your number? Or why don't you go ahead and put your number in my phone, is actually what I say. So I'll hand her my phone. I'll be like, why don't you go ahead and put your number in my phone? Do you guys see that technique that I taught in the members area?
Also.
Yeah, that's a really good one. So you hand them the phone. Why don't you go ahead and put your number in my phone, and then I'll text you later and let you know where we are.
It's not the same.
Right? I'll text you later and let you know where we're going. Like, you're just assuming she's going to meet up with you. Right? Another way you can say that is, I'll text you later and let you know if where we're going is fun, if it's worth coming out to, you know? Because, like, you're not going to invite her out if it's boring. That's what you're saying in that situation, right? What else? You can also say, my second favorite one probably, is that, okay, I really got to go. My friends are probably looking for me, so I mentioned my friends again, right? My friends are probably looking for me, so why don't you go and put your number in my phone and I'll text you a little later on and see what you're doing. You know, whatever, right? You can end it however you want to, and I'll see you, just see what you're doing. So be like, okay, while she's putting your number in your phone, you can kind of tease her a little bit, be like, look at those shoes. Or like, I have the same shoes, but they look better on you. Like, whatever, it doesn't fucking matter. Just like while she's doing it, so she's smiling. If you haven't built rapport yet, and you get her number, you have to build rapport for about 5 minutes after you get the number. At least go through the cycle once, you know? And then go, I really have to go now. I'm sorry. It's awesome meeting you. As soon as you walk away, you turn around and you walk away, text her. Like, immediately. Don't stand there, like, look at her and text her. But, like, as soon as you walk and you turn a corner, pick your phone up, so as soon as she can't see you anymore, pick your phone up and go, write something really, really normal, like, it was really awesome meeting you, and then a winky face, you know? Like, a little, like, I don't know how to say that, semicolon, in parentheses, you know what I'm talking about? And then, and that's it, send it. And she'll be like, because she's going to be in this, here's what's going to happen afterwards. She does this. You leave and she goes, you know, she's like, what the fuck just happened? Wow, you know? And then her phone goes, bzz, and she goes, ah. Like, it's like, it's fucking like, ah, you know? Like the final blow. And she's so like, oh my God, you know? It's awesome. So you use this. It's really powerful stuff. So, and then later, don't keep texting back and forth a whole bunch. Just, you know, do it a couple times. And then later on, be like, hey, we're headed over to this place. Tonight, wherever you go out, it's way better to go out and then meet a girl there who you know you're going to meet there. Because then you're hanging out, you're flirting. She shows up. All these girls are flirting with you. And you're like, hey. And then she's going to fuck you. This is going to happen. Just so you know. The hottest girls, it's way more fun and way easier to meet the hottest girls during the daytime. Because they'd have way fewer barriers up. And, you know, it's just that you can break through to them a lot easier. Does that make sense? Let me see what else we got. The bar walk. Yeah. Okay, bar walk. This is when you go to the bar tonight, when you first walk in, every time I go to a bar, I do the same thing, pretty much, for the first, like, 10 or 15 minutes. I start walking around as if I have something to do. I don't try to talk to people. I'll just, like, do drive-bys. Drive-bys are like, a little banter that you do as you walk by people. Like, hey, there you are. I'll be right back. I have no idea who you are, right? But I might say that to a girl. Or maybe she goes, who are you? As I'm walking by, I'm like, I don't know, but there you are, right there. You know, that's from Austin Powers. But I love that. That was fantastic. So that one, or I'll be right back, just in general, or don't go anywhere, or you two are trouble. You know, I'll keep an eye out for you. And then you go, you keep walking. You don't. By the way, as you're doing this, what don't you do? Lean in. You don't give positive body language. All the shit that you're not supposed to do, you don't do it. All the stuff you are supposed to do, you do it. Right? You touch for a second, and you just turn your head, and you give this banter line, then you move. You know? So I'll do this. I'll walk into the bar, and I'll find the bathroom. It's the first thing that I do. I'll take my time getting to it, usually. You know? You guys can't all do that, obviously, because it'd be like, a bunch of dudes walked in and walked to the bathroom together. It's like, that might be kind of strange. But you can go into different directions, and you can... pick any point that I call out, right? Whatever when I mention these now, just choose one to go to. The point is to have something to do besides wander around and do this. You know? So instead of walking around like this and looking for shit, you have some mission. I usually walk into the bar smiling, walk straight past everybody, do some banter on the way through, and then go to the bathroom, just look at myself for a second, or I'll go into a stall and I'll just sit there and be like, okay. Look at whatever reminder I have on my phone as the background so I can know or any papers that I want to check out. Then I go back out, walk back through the crowd, banter again, go to the bar, right? Banter at the bar, order a drink at the bar. Get the drink, turn around, walk back, and then go back to the back of the bar. It doesn't matter where you're going. Just go to another area that you haven't been to yet and check it out. Find your friends, right, wherever they are. And if your friends are all around you and there's one of your friends that's far away, Fucking go to them. Go to the one far away. Because the point is to walk around, you know? And not be like, what's up? You know? Trying to, like, figure out where everyone's going. Are you, is it queued up?
Yeah, it's queued up.
Okay. So, what else? Okay, so you do this. Go out to the smoking area. That's another great thing to do. And talk to the smokers out there. You can banter with them a little bit if you want to. One thing I usually do is I'll take my phone and I'll walk outside and I'll be like, I'll text myself something or text you guys. You guys text each other something. Like, type in something that'll make them laugh. Like, penis in your mouth. Like, something ridiculous, right? Like, cock in your ass. Like, something that makes people go, what the fuck? You know, and they pick up their phone and they're like, okay. You know? And then you just, and you, that's all you're doing. You walk out, you're texting. You don't have to walk outside to text, obviously. But no one goes, hey, that guy's an imposter. They don't do that. They're just like, oh, there's a dude there and he's texting. Maybe you wanted to get away. Maybe you wanted to answer the phone. It doesn't matter, right? But either way, I go out. If you do smoke, go outside and have a cigarette, you know? I don't smoke, but I just text or whatever. And then I'll put my phone back and I'll turn and I'll go. I don't ever put my phone back in and stand and, like, look around. I'll do this for about 15, 20 minutes when I first walk into a bar. I won't do anything else. I won't have any kind of deep conversations. I won't choose anybody. I won't go after girls. I'll just fucking do that. Does that make sense? Now, after doing that for about 15 or 20 minutes, the entire bar is warmed up to you. So now you have a lot of familiarity in the bar. People are familiar with you in certain areas, so they trust you. This is one of the 7 rules of long-term attraction, which really shouldn't even be a rule of long-term attraction. It should just be one of the ways to generate attraction in general. This is how you start running a room. You guys ever heard of running a room? It's like where you go into a room and then all of a sudden you're the center of attention and everyone else there is like trying to get your attention and try to know who you are. I'm like the king of doing this. I really like doing this a lot. I don't do it hardly ever anymore, but it was my favorite thing to do because then I had any option. But the better reason why I really like doing it, that no one really knew, my kind of secret, is that when new people walk into the bar, they walk into your kingdom when they do it. And they all automatically want you. If you just get a few pockets of people that know who you are or like that are attracted to you or whatever, then people walking in the front door may not see that everyone wants your attention because not everybody does. But if you do this with everybody, then when new people walk into the bar, all of a sudden they see clearly what's going on. They see that you're an important person and everyone wants to talk to you, you know? Even if no one is talking to you at the point, at that moment, as you walk around and you start interacting, they'll see that you have nothing but positive interactions with everybody. Is that clear? You guys getting that? So the pressure that you have in the beginning, I mean, the scary part of going to a bar is knowing that in the first, like, 20 minutes, you're going to have to sit there and pick up chicks and warm up. That's the hard part. Skip that part. Don't do that part. Push that 20 minutes later and bar walk instead. Is that clear? Okay, I just dumped a fuckload of knowledge on you guys. Hopefully that's okay. Let me see if there's anything else. Mm-mm-mm. No, I think we're good. Okay, so why don't we do this? I want you guys to kind of, you can just walk over here and stand, actually. I'm going to turn this off.
Couldn't figure out the sound, but not a lot of the sound.
Okay, that's probably good enough. Now, there's a reason why I'm showing you this, of course. But I want to be very clear on the reason. And I want you guys to really... this thing turn off? I want you to really understand what is I'm trying to, what the point I'm trying to make by having you watch this video. This scene in Fight Club is... and Renee, this is going to be... it's going to be news to you, but it's not. You didn't hear us mentioning this yesterday. But this scene in Fight Club is basically talking about what you guys are going through right now. It's not just around women, obviously. It has nothing to do with women. It's about waking up. But it's about the pain of waking up and what it really feels like. So if you don't feel like this, you're probably not waking up. So this is the whole process. I'm going to... You said the volume?
Just hit play. The volume's on my computer.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Where there's a fellow split in the surface, like in Boy Scouts. I don't know if you was a Boy Scout. Your turn. You put some tallow hard and some skim off layer of glycerin. You add nitric acid, you got nitric glycerin. And you add sodium nitrate, that's just sawdust. That dies. Tablets to follow geospatial information. Now, ancient peoples found that clothes got dirty when they washed them at a certain point in the river. You know what? No. See the sacrifice of the ones made on the hills above us. Bodies burned. Water seeped into wooden ashes to create fire.
Okay. So, what's happening right here in this scene is, first off, let me explain Bite Club to you. If you who's not seen Bite Club? You haven't? And you have. Okay, the two guys who need to watch movies. I'm not going to ruin Fight Club for you, but I will tell you, I have to kind of tiptoe around this thing. In this point, Tyler Durden represents, and even if you have watched Fight Club, you probably won't know this. Tyler Durden represents truth, basically. Like reality. Like how life really is. Ed Norton's character, Tyler Durden is Brad Pitt's character. I don't even know Ed Norton's character's name.
He doesn't have a name.
He doesn't have a name, which is fantastic. So, Ed Norton's character, his he represents ego. What's that?
He's an alter ego.
Oh, no, but Brad Pitt's not an alter ego, though.
Okay.
That's a big misconception. Brad Pitt is not ego. He is just reality. Right? This is what's really happening. This is kind of he's woken up. He's a human adult, essentially. Somebody who's sort of a little more enlightened. In this case, he doesn't live by the rules of society. And so, Ed Norton is... The whole scene is perfect because Ed Norton's character is so egotistical at this point. He's like, you know, oh, Tyler's full of useful information. Like, he's all judgmental. He's got this, like, persona that he's trying to keep up. But Brad Pitt's character has no persona he's trying to keep up. He's just doing whatever the fuck he wants, okay? What you're about to see is Ed Norton wake up. And this is what the waking up process really looks like.
This is love. Crucial ingredient. What's it next?
See his reaction?
It might still be discharged to the river. That's your helpless.
What is this?
This is chemical burn. The first one you've ever been burned, and you will have scarred.
Got your meditation work for cancer. Good work for this.
Don't shut this.
Okay. So Ed Norton's character now is being, he's getting a chemical burn, which is terrible, and he's trying to go to some happy place to get rid of the pain, alright? This is what you guys will do as you start running into the pain of waking up, of seeing reality. You'll start to run back to your fantasy world where things were nice and cozy and easy to deal with, you know? Where you wanted to work and you wanted to make, you know, make something of your life, so to speak. You know what I mean? The things in your life that own you now, that you're wasting your life doing, things that don't matter. You try to run back to those things as you start to wake up, and it always feels like some terrible fear that you're facing.
Just lift your hand. First hope is made from the ashes of heroes, like the first monkey shot in space. Without pain, without sacrifice, you would have nothing.
I try not to think of the word serial flesh.
Stop it! This is your pain. This is your burning hand.
So, this is what we're trying to do for you guys. I want to show you the pain. I want to show you. Look at it. Don't turn your head away from it. You're going to be doing this the whole time that you're here. Look at it. If you're facing it, if you're not facing it, what you're doing is running away from it. And what we want to do is throw it in your face so you cannot deny the reality of what's actually happening to you. The fact that you are asleep, that you've been asleep. And this way, Roberto, in this way, you're closer to being awake. Do you understand this?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to continue.
Right here, just look at my kids. Look at my kids and find my brother. No! Don't feel what the doing those dead people do. Come on!
Get the point of
no, what you're feeling is premature enlightenment.
What you're feeling is premature enlightenment. Okay? Are you getting this?
Yeah. It's the greatest moment of your life, man. And you're off somewhere miserable.
Okay. This is the greatest moment of your life and you're off somewhere being miserable. There's no way that Ed Norton understands this. You can't understand this. You can't understand it as you're waking up. You don't know that what you're going into is perfect. That where you're stepping into is reality, and that truth is all that you really have anyway. You know? That everything that you've created in your life is a lie. You don't want to know that. You don't want to see that. You want to fight against it just like this.
John, our fathers were models for God. If our fathers failed, what does that tell you about God? Listen to me. Consider the possibility that God does not like you, never wanted you,
in all probability, he hates you.
Okay, so that line is about you taking responsibility for your life. Not saying that someone else is leading you or guiding you or has responsibility for you in any kind of way. You know, he's saying you have to consider the idea, at least the possibility, that no one gives a fuck about you. Not even God, who's supposed to give a fuck about you, gives a fuck about you, and that you will die alone. It's going to happen. And you will die someday, for sure, you're going to die someday. But when, you don't know, and you're waiting for someone to tell you to do something, for you to wake up, for you to have some beautiful experience where you're accepted into some beautiful sort of afterlife, or, you know, once all your suffering is over, you're going to be rewarded, but that does not happen. You find that out later in life, but that doesn't happen. And the biggest joke in the world is your life, that you wasted it. That's the only thing that you actually had.
It's not the worst thing that
happened. It isn't. We
got to fuck damnation, man. Fuck redemption. We are God's unwanted children. So be it. Listen. You can run water over your head to make it worse, or look at me, or you can use vinegar to neutralize the burn.
Please, let me ask. Please.
First, you have to know, not fear. No, someday you're gonna die.
You don't know how this feels.
It's only after we've lost everything, we're free to do it again.
Okay. So, in this way,
I hope I'm gonna go ahead and move. I'm gonna go ahead and open this.
Thanks, guys. That's all I really need to do.
Show you. But in this way, I am clearly, and we are clearly, Brad Pitt's character.